right. What do we do now?
We board the alien ship. We've done them some damage, but we have no way of telling how much or how long it'll take them to make repairs. So we'd better strike now while they're still weakened.
Agreed. I want that ship taken intact so our people can take it apart and see what makes it tick, especially the shields and the weapons. We might have to face them again. But even so, given the state of the Dauntless, I can't authorize more than a small boarding party. You, Investigator, myself, and a dozen Marines.
Sounds good to me.
You can't leave the ship now, Captain. There are damage reports coming in from all over.
Then you deal with them. I'm needed on the boarding party. If only because I'm one of the few people here to have faced aliens and lived to tell of it. Cross, you work with the security officer. See, he has all the support he needs.
Yes, Captain, but I do feel I should point out that regulations clearly state...
All right, you've pointed it out. Now forget it. With all the trouble I'm in, a few more broken regs are the least of my worries. You don't need me, Cross. The ship is dead in the water. Just watch over her and don't let Stelmach get too carried away with his new responsibilities. Anyone calls, you know where to find me. Let's go, Investigator. I want a close-up look at the kind of ship that can trash an entire city in Starport. I almost took out an Imperial Star Cruiser.
Right. And with a bit of luck, we'll get to kill some aliens, too.
There's always the chance they're playing possum.
Then they'll soon be dead possums.
The Dauntless maneuvered carefully with the little power she had left to set herself alongside the alien craft, which made no move to acknowledge her presence. Sensors picked up no energy readings or life signs. Silence lay quietly in his hard suit inside the torpedo tube, listening to the reports over his comm implant. He didn't place too much reliance in the sensors. He had a strong feeling the alien ship was still perfectly capable of keeping its secrets to itself. He stirred uncomfortably, as best he could. He was lying face down in one of his own torpedo tubes, the shoulders of his hard suit brushing against the steel walls, and he barely had room to twitch his fingers, never mind attend to the itch that was building with slow, malevolent intensity between his shoulder blades. Normally, he'd only have to wear a hard suit maybe half a dozen times in a year, and this was the second time in one mission. He sighed deeply and ran through his suit's built-in diagnostics again. Anything to keep his mind occupied. As soon as the Dauntless got close enough, he was going to be fired out of the torpedo tube toward the alien ship, and he wasn't looking forward to it one bit, even if it was his idea. There was no entry port he could fly a pinnace to, and blowing a hole in the alien craft big enough to dock a pinnace might have all kinds of unpleasant consequences. That just left, climbing into a hard suit and knocking on the door the hard way. Silence sighed again, and wished he'd made time to visit the toilet first. The suit's facilities were efficient, but primitive. The inside of his helmet had nothing to show him but the inside of the torpedo tube, and whatever displays he felt like calling up. It felt like he'd been stuck in the tube for hours, but the suit's timer, blinking officiously low on his left, insisted it had been barely 20 minutes. Silence wondered idly if this was what the inside of a coffin looked like, and then rather wished he hadn't.
"Captain, Dauntless is in position,"
said the second-in-command's voice suddenly in his ear.
"Launching, now."
Silence had an almost overpowering urge to say, "No, stop, I've changed my mind." And then pressure exploded around him, and he was shot out of the torpedo tube and into space. It was very dark, but the stars were very bright. They whirled around him in dizzy arcs, and then settled down as the hard suit oriented itself and its built-in computers locked onto the alien ship. The rocket pack on his back kicked in and nudged him toward the alien craft with a series of carefully considered bursts. The huge white ball hung silently before him, blank and ominous. This close, the tangled strands of webbing looked more like thick twisting cables. It also looked disturbingly organic, alive, and quite possibly not nearly as damaged as it was pretending to be. He could see the damaged areas increasingly clearly as he drifted closer. They were deep, ragged pits in the sickly white surface, sinking deeper than even his suit's augmented vision could follow. The ragged edges of the broken cables hung limply, unmoving. Silence frowned and studied them closely. He kept thinking he saw some of them twitching just on the edge of his vision, but when he looked at them straight, they were still. He could see Frost coming into view beside him, and his sensors told him the dozen Marines were spread out around him in a narrow curve. Their presence was immediately reassuring, and he began to breathe a little more easily. He hadn't spent much time in actual space since his cadet days at the academy, and he'd forgotten how cold and lonely it could be. Golgotha lay below him, great and golden, and giving him at least a sense of up and down, but the sheer size of space was horribly intimidating. And lovely though the stars were, they were a hell of a long way off. It was also a hell of a long way down, but he was trying very hard not to think about that. If anything were to go wrong with his suit, he could end up dying in a variety of really unpleasant ways. But nothing was going to go wrong. The suit's diagnostics were fine, and its computers would get him to the alien ship far more safely than he could have managed on his own. At which point, he would no doubt encounter some really disgusting alien life forms, more than ready to kill him in even worse ways. Join the Imperial Navy and see the universe. He smiled despite himself. He'd still rather be here than stuck helplessly back on the bridge, worrying about what Frost and the Marines were getting into. He concentrated on the alien ship growing steadily larger all the time. It filled space before him, expanding like a small planet as he drifted toward its surface. The white cables were now thicker than a landing craft, impossibly long as they stretched away in each direction, and pocked with small and large holes, as though something had been gnawing on them. Silence found that thought disturbing. What the hell could the alien craft have encountered in its long travels through the dark void that had actually tried to eat it? He put the thought out of his mind and concentrated on his landing. Silence and the investigator and the Marines drifted down onto the surface of the alien ship, like so many settling seeds on a forest floor, and collected on the edge of one of the holes the Dauntless had blasted in the outer surface of the ship. It was a good 30 feet across and went down at least 100 feet. There was no telling how much deeper it went. The hard suit's sensors couldn't follow that far, even though they should have been able to. Silence checked his other instruments. No ambient heat from the hole, no radioactivity, no magnetic fields, and only low traces of gravity. Maybe 1/10 human level. Whatever secrets the alien ship had left, it was keeping them jealously to itself. Silence activated his comm implant.
Dauntless, this is the captain. Do you hear me?
Loud and clear, Captain. Sensors are locked on your position, and we have full telemetry on your hard suits. Wherever you go, once you're inside the alien craft, we'll be able to follow your movements and advise you.
I feel safer already. Keep your guns trained, Cross. Whatever happens, the ship is not to be allowed to escape. You will prevent such an escape with all means necessary, whatever the cost. Is that clear?
Captain?
Do as the investigator says. She's the expert here. If it comes down to the bottom line, we're all expendable. The investigator and I, perhaps a little more so than others. We're going in now. Let's all stick together, people. And whatever we find inside this ship, don't get distracted. I want information, not dead heroes. Investigator, if you'd care to lead the way, we can get this show on the road.
Of course, Captain.
Frost stepped off the edge of the pit and began to fall slowly down into the great hole the Dauntless had made, helped on her way by short bursts from her backpack. Silence followed her, and one by one the Marines came after him, in a long line of slowly falling bodies. The shoulder lights on their hard suits pushed back the darkness as they fell, but there wasn't much to see. The inside walls of the pit were composed of the same thick white cables, pressed and twisted together. The controlled fall seemed to go on for ages, and then the floor of the pit loomed suddenly up beneath them. Frost touched down first, got her balance in a moment, and looked quickly about her, built-in weapons at the ready. Silence joined her a moment later. The massive cables beneath his feet didn't give at all, bulging around him like waves in a frozen sea. The Marines drifted down around him, dropping out of the gloom into the light like great silver snowflakes. They landed easily with casual skill and moved out to form a defensive circle around Silence and the investigator, who was thoughtfully studying the floor of the pit.
Interesting. We hit this ship with everything we had. When its shields went down, the outer skin of the hull, or whatever the hell this stuff is, took the full brunt of disruptor cannon firing at virtually point-blank range. Solid steel would have melted and run like water, where it didn't immediately evaporate. But I can't find any trace of heat or structural damage.
Self-regenerating?
And the investigator just shrugged.
Maybe. If it is, it's far beyond anything we've got. And why just repair the walls? Why not seal over the hole?
Because they knew we'd be coming and they wanted to control where we landed. The word trap suggests itself to me. Suggestions?
Blast a way through to the interior. I brought enough shaped charges to blow a path through a small moon. Once we're inside, we'll see if anyone comes to complain about the noise.
If you're going to start messing about with explosives, I am getting myself and my men out of here. I never met an investigator yet who understood the concept of subtlety when it came to explosives.
And then silence broke off and looked sharply at the wall beside them. Two of the thick white cables were twisting slowly apart to form a tunnel leading deeper into the ship. Frost leaned in cautiously, her suit lights illuminating the tunnel as far as they could. It seemed entirely empty. Silence tried his suit sensors, but they weren't picking up anything. As far as they were concerned, the tunnel might not even have been there.
Silence to Dauntless. You picking up anything on your end?
We're patched into your suit's comm signals, Captain. We can see everything you can, but long-range sensors have nothing to add. I can say we're not picking up any life signs yet. We've heard from Golgotha Starport. They're still too busy putting themselves back together to be able to offer us any help. The good news is that the six Star Cruisers who went chasing off after the Haydenman ship apparently lost contact with it. They're on their way back. Should be here in just under an hour.
Well, that's something, I suppose.
Silence turned to Frost.
Your call, Investigator. Do we go in?
Into a possible trap. Possibly crammed with murderous aliens? Of course, Captain. Nothing to be gained standing around here.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. All right, lead the way. Marines, stay close behind us. Be ready to fire at a moment's notice, but exercise caution. There's always the chance we might find the missing personnel from Gehenna Basin here somewhere. I'd like to get them out of here alive if at all possible. Lead on, Investigator.
Frost stepped carefully into the tunnel and moved in step by step. Silence and the Marines moved after her. The cables making up the tunnel's inner walls were smoother, thinner, but just as unyielding to the touch. Their white color had thin blue traces in it, like veins. Silence increased the magnification of what he was seeing, and the walls seemed to leap toward him. The cables were pulsing slightly, in a regular rhythm. He stepped the view back to normal and touched the wall with the tips of his steel fingers. The built-in sensors detected no warmth of life, only a faint stickiness. The walls were rounded, like the floor and the ceiling, as though he and his team were walking through the bowels of some enormous beast. And maybe they were at that. Silence glanced back over his shoulder to see how the Marines were coping, and only then realized that the tunnel had closed itself off behind them. The cables had fitted together again, thick and impenetrable. Silence quickly alerted the others, who spun around to see for themselves. Frost was all for going back and blasting it with her disruptors, but Silence stopped her.
Let's follow the tunnel first, see where it leads. We can always come back and blast it later. Dauntless, have you followed what's happened here? Hello, Dauntless. Do you hear me?
He listened hard, but all he could hear was his own harsh breathing.
Investigator, see if you can raise them.
Frost tried, and then the Marines, to no avail. Frost growled something under her breath, and then turned to Silence.
It's not the suits. All the diagnostics check out. Something's blocking the signal. We're on our own, Captain.
Not for the first time. Press on, Investigator. I don't think the occupants of this ship let us in just to hold us here. I think they're expecting us.
Frost led the way on, and as they penetrated farther into the ship, the cables continued to open before them, creating more tunnel, and closing off behind them to prevent turning back, so that Silence and his people moved constantly in a traveling pocket within the webbing. The cables varied even more in size now, and there were other changes too. The corpse-white cables swirled around and over each other, tangled together beyond sense or meaning. Some little more than a finger's width. The floor was no different, and more than ever Silence felt like he was walking on a spider's web, sending out rhythmic signals of where he was and where he was going. The impression grew stronger as all the strands grew increasingly sticky to the touch. it got harder to pull their boots free from the floor, and soon only the power of the hard suit's servo mechanisms kept them going. Strange lights pulsed within the rounded tunnel walls. Come and gone so quickly, it was difficult to decide what color they might have been. Sometimes Silence thought they weren't any color he'd ever seen before. But still, there was no sign of any construction or device, or any sign at all of whatever crewed the alien ship. The tunnel puckered in suddenly from all sides, so that the away team had to crawl through on their hands and knees, one after the other. And on the other side, they rose to their feet as they found themselves in a great, egg-shaped chamber with a high ceiling and smooth, polished walls. Dark shapes and oddities budded out from the floor and walls, carefully formed, but enigmatic in meaning. Frost snapped out a warning not to touch them, which Silence, for one, found completely superfluous. He wouldn't have touched any of them on a bet. For no reason he could put a finger on, his mind kept throwing up an image of himself stuck helplessly to one of the dark shapes, while the chamber filled slowly with digestive juices. He was sweating inside the hard suit, despite the cool air it was circulating. They moved on through the vast chamber, stepping slowly and carefully, touching nothing, and finally left the chamber through another of the puckered holes. Beyond lay more tunnels, opening before them and closing after them, and more chambers studded with various shapes, none of them immediately comprehensible to the human mind. Until finally, the away team encountered another, smaller chamber, and discovered what had happened to the missing Gehenna base personnel. The chamber was some 100 feet in diameter, the walls pockmarked in rows both vertical and horizontal, and a thin layer of vapor covered the floor, beating wetly on the hard suit's armor. There was light of a kind, a harsh, unforgiving blue-white glare that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere at once. Long, flat slabs of some unfamiliar metal were scattered across the floor, held just above the vapor. And on those slabs, held firmly by some unseen force, were the remains of the base personnel. Some were only parts, organs and limbs and faces. A dozen complete torsos had been messily vivisected, and from the few with heads attached and the expression on their faces, Silence had no doubt at all that these men and women had been alive and aware when the vivisection began. Anywhere else he might have felt sick, for all his experience. But right then he was too full of rage and fury to feel anything else.
"They'll die for this,"
said Frost.
"Every living thing on this ship shall pay in blood and suffering."
The Marines stirred restlessly, looking this way and that for something to aim their weapons at. Silence knew how they felt, but kept an icy firm control on his anger.
"You can kill the aliens only after the specialists have squeezed every drop of information out of them, Investigator. Until then, I want captives, not corpses. Marines, remember your orders. Minimum force only, unless in life-threatening situations. Use your own judgment, but you'd better be prepared to back it up later. There will be a time for vengeance, but we must have the information the ship holds. We might have to face more of its kind in the future."
"Don't lecture me. I know my duty."
"Sorry, Investigator. Just speaking for the record. There's nothing more we can do here. Mark this chamber's location on your suit's maps and we'll move on. We can send people in to retrieve the bodies later. Right now we have to find the control section. I want the ship immobilized and helpless before it can finish its repairs. I also want a good look at the crew, and more it seems the only place we can be sure of finding them is at the control center. They wouldn't dare abandon that."
He led the way across the chamber, moving carefully between the crimson, spread-eagled bodies on the slabs, trying hard not to look at them. It was easier to control his anger that way. It seemed to take forever to reach the opening on the far wall, but as he drew near, it puckered shut in a mass of solid, tightly packed cables. Silence prodded it here and there with his steel fingers, but it didn't give anywhere. He hadn't thought it would. He hit it once with his fist, and then turned back to the others. They stared at him silently with their featureless steel helmets. Slowly, and without any fuss, the light was going out. The slabs with their grisly specimens began to disappear into rising vapor. It didn't take much imagination on Silence's part to picture the alien crew massing on the other side of the closed portal.
Marines, I feel we are quite definitely now in a life-threatening situation. Feel free to shoot anything that moves that isn't us. I'd like a few specimens left alive, just a few, so if anything runs, let it. Investigator, make an opening here.
Frost aimed her armored right hand at the closed opening, and the disruptor built into the glove blasted a hole right through the tightly packed webbing. A sickly green light spilled into the chamber through a 10-foot-wide hole, and everyone braced themselves for an attack that never came. Silence and Frost edged forward and peered through the new opening. Hanging ends of ruptured cables hung twitching and jumping from every side, but showed no signs of knitting themselves together. They pattered weakly against the hard suits, but did no harm. Beyond the opening lay a narrow, milky white tunnel with smooth, faintly glowing walls. It was barely 8 feet in diameter, only just big enough to take the away team in their hard suits, and Silence couldn't help wondering if that was deliberate. There was no sign of any enemy.
I'll take the lead. This is investigator business now.
Couldn't agree more. After you.
Frost stepped through into the narrow tunnel. The gauntlets with built-in guns held out before her. Silence followed, and the Marines brought up the rear. The floor of the tunnel gave disturbingly under their weight, as though it might rupture at any moment and spill them into whatever lay waiting below. But somehow, it held. Silence pressed on and tried hard not to think about it. He'd lost all track of where he was in relation to the ship's exterior. He wasn't actually lost. The suit had kept track of all his twists and turns and could easily lead him back. But he still didn't know where he was precisely. He just had a strong feeling he was getting deep and deeper in, being lured remorselessly toward the dark heart of the alien craft. He checked his air supply, but he'd barely touched it so far. Theoretically, the rebreather could keep him alive for up to a week, under normal conditions. He deliberately didn't finish that thought, and instead studied the tunnel walls to either side of him. They were flat and smooth, not cabled, more like membranes. They pulsed and fluctuated to no apparent purpose, and waves of pale color briefly tinged the milky white, like passing thoughts or dreams. The passage was also narrowing, slowly but inexorably. Silence used his suit's sensors to measure the diameter of the tunnel and compared it to the size it had been when they entered it. He frowned at the answer and calculated how long it would be before the tunnel grew too small for his team to continue on. He liked that answer even less. 4 minutes, 37 seconds. No buts or maybes.
Investigator, Marines, stop right where you are.
They did so. Frost didn't look back, but he knew she was watching him quite clearly on the inside of her helmet. Silence measured the tunnel behind him with his suit sensors, and wasn't at all surprised to discover that the tunnel had already narrowed beyond the point where they could pass through it.
I was wondering when you'd notice. It would appear the aliens have us where they want us. Shall I blast it?
What the hell? When in doubt, make a loud noise. Let someone know we're here, and we're not at all happy about it.
Frost aimed her built-in disruptors at the narrowing tunnel before her, and the milky white walls split apart in 100 places as insects beyond counting burst in on the away team. The bugs ranged in size from many-legged things the size of a fist, which swarmed all over the hard suits looking for weak spots and entry points, to huge, bulky things with their own armor and vicious pincer claws. The tunnel was briefly full of flashing disruptor bolts, and insects fried as the tunnel walls blew apart. But once the guns fell silent, the away team disappeared beneath a writhing mass of silent insect life. Tiny things swarmed over the suit's sensors, and Silence was suddenly blind and deaf. He tried to brush the insects away with his powerful steel hands, but there were just too many of them. Warnings flashed up before his eyes as acid began to eat into his armored joints, threatening the hard suit's integrity. Screams sounded in his ears as the insects invaded a Marine's armor and began to eat him alive. More screams followed.
Frost! You still have those explosives?
Enough to blow us all to hell, if that's what you want.
I was thinking more of just enough to blow the insects to shit without rupturing our suits. Think you can manage that?
No problem. Brace yourself.
When it came, the explosion was powerful enough to briefly fill the inner screen of Silence's helmet with a dozen warnings, but they faded out one by one as the suit held. He brushed vaguely at himself, and sight and sound returned as dead insects fell away and the sensors cleared. The tunnel hung in tatters around them, and beyond and around them lay the secret of the alien ship, the vast, imposing shape of the queen of the alien hive. She filled the space beyond the tunnel, a great bloated sack of living tissue, hundreds of yards across, living walls of pale, pulsating flesh, studded here and there with black, lidless eyes. Ridiculously small, atrophied limbs protruded in places, remnants of a forgotten earlier life. Metal instruments and gleaming cables plunged into her great flesh from all around, as though she was built into the ship, or it had been grown around her. Silence tore his gaze away and looked around him. The swarming insects had been blasted away by the force of the explosion. Dead and injured alien forms lay everywhere, some twitching feebly. But Silence had no doubt more were already on their way. Eight of the Marines were still standing, looking numbly to him for instructions. The investigator only had eyes for the Queen. Silence checked the four fallen Marines for life signs, but he already knew what he'd find. Their suits had ruptured from the combination of the explosion and insect damage. Four more good men lost to the aliens. Silence looked up sharply as his suit's sensors picked up scrabbling sounds, drawing nearer.
Investigator, more insects on the way. Recommendations?
Hit the Queen. She's the heart and mind of them all.
You heard the investigator, Marines. Hit the Queen with everything you've got.
Vivid light seared from the away team's disruptors and blasted away great chunks of the Queen's body. The pale flesh boiled and vaporized and blew apart, only to seal itself together again in moments. The Queen was just too big for them, too huge even for energy weapons to do any real damage. She towered over them, vast and monolithic. And from everywhere at once, lesser aliens came suddenly swarming into what was left of the tunnel. There seemed no end to the living wave, and Silence knew that this time no weapon he had would be enough to stop them. They would just keep coming until their sheer numbers overwhelmed the away team. If he was lucky, he'd die then. Damn. More good men lost. Frost. I wish... And then everything changed. The enigmatic gift he'd acquired from the Madness Maze blazed brightly in his mind and Frost's, and they were linked again, mind to mind, soul to soul. A vast, incomprehensible roar filled their heads, the alien thoughts of a million insects, and thundering through it like a great heartbeat, the commands of the Queen. It took Silence and Frost only a moment to patch into the roar of the mass mind, seize control, and impose their own commands upon it. The insect tide turned away from their human prey and fell upon the Queen. They swarmed all over her gigantic body and began to eat her alive. The last thing Silence and Frost heard before the link broke and they fell back into their own heads again was the Queen screaming. They both grinned savagely. Only human again, Frost and Silence looked at each other. They couldn't see each other's faces, but they didn't need to. Silence glanced briefly at the stunned Marines watching the insects devour their own queen, and decided explanations could wait. He activated his comm implant and accessed Frost on the command channel.
It's not the same as the creature we found on Unseelie. And it's nothing like what those poor bastards found on Wolf 4. So what exactly have we got here? The creators of those killer aliens in the vaults on Grendel? Or the ancient enemy the Grendel sleepers were created to fight? Or something else entirely?
Beats the hell out of me. Let the specialists worry about it. We need to talk, Frost. This link of ours, it's getting stronger. I don't know how much longer we can keep it hidden.
We have to. They mustn't know what really happened here. They'd reclassify us as Espers, strip us of our rank, turn us into lab rats. I'd rather die than live like that.
There's always the underground.
Not for us.
No, not for us. Aliens like these could return at any time, and only a strong and undivided empire can hope to stand against them. So we'll keep quiet about what happened here. Act like it's a mystery to us, too. Lionstone doesn't need to know.
On the other hand, Lionstone was actually really quite lucky here today. With the fleet gone and the planet's defenses in disarray, Golgotha was practically defenseless. If we hadn't turned up when we did, the ship could have trashed half the damn planet. We saved her, Imperial ass. Could be she'll be grateful. Grateful enough to overlook our recent failures. What do you think?
Not a chance.
Deathstalker Rebellion is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1996, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vanderslice. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for our complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.